One of the problems with the whole push to allow children to try and change their sex through preferred pronouns, otherwise known as social transitioning, and then chemicalization with puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and ultimately castration of healthy body parts, is that because it's a relatively new phenomenon, the trans activists have been able to make outlandish claims. And it's been difficult to have the evidence to push back. So we just get labeled things like transphobic. Well, those days are well and truly over. The research and the evidence continues to pour in. And there was a really significant study to add to the pile just last week. Let's check it out. So trans activists ask parents of transgender identifying youth a shocking question: would you rather have a living son than a dead daughter? It's a slogan that's being repeated by media and politicians, and it's that gender affirmation care saves lives. That's what they say. Trans your child. In fact, I saw it just last week in the mainstream media relating to the painting of the rainbow crossings. Here's an article from Stuff. In fact, this paragraph was repeated word for word in a couple of articles on this issue. And it says, "We know for a fact people in rainbow communities have higher suicide rates than the general community. And any kind of public support or sign that shows we are welcome helps to mitigate the general negativity that often society shows to us." Now, the problem with the claim and the conclusion that they draw, in which the media parrots ad nauseum, has no credibility. It's based on a self-selected survey, the Counting Ourselves survey and policy, which comes out of the University of Waikato's Trans Health Research Lab. It's a unit driven by activists and is closely, very closely affiliated with the now discredited WPATH, the group that has misled countries around the world with their guidelines, but they've now been busted. See an earlier episode of McBlog for an analysis of that. You see, for example, there's a large correlation between people who have other mental health diagnoses and gender dysphoria, what we call comorbidity. Causality is the claim, but is never adequately addressed in the studies cited. Yes, the statistics of suicidal thoughts and actions are higher in the LGBT community, but we need to ask, is it the lack of affirmation and the phobia, despite the fact that the marketing campaign for the LGBT community by the cultural elite, media and politicians is off the charts, and if you don't buy in, you're ostracized and cancelled. So does the so-called homophobia and transphobia cause the suicide, or is it a symptom of another mental health issue, such as depression or anxiety, autism, trauma, or other more serious issues? Now, we would argue it's definitely the latter. Sexuality and gender confusion is depressing and stressful. One of the few rigorous studies which was completed in Sweden followed a transgender group of adults from 1973 to 2003, yeah, 30 years. And this study found that persons with transsexualism after sex reassignment have considerably higher risks for mortality, suicidal behavior, and psychiatric morbidity than the general population. They said, "Our findings suggest that sex reassignment, although alleviating gender dysphoria, may not suffice as treatment for transsexualism and should inspire improved psychiatric and somatic care." Somatic care is restoring the natural balance within the body-mind system to resolve physical and mental stress. And they say after sex reassignment. In other words, the surgery didn't solve the mental health issues. Well, no surprise. There's been a more recent study, which I've already told you about, and it's from the beginning of this year from Finland. Now, remember, the mainstream media were silent on this research. Their silence was actually deafening because they don't want to tell you about these types of studies. It goes against the mainstream narrative. But this Finnish study found that the suicide risk in a large group of teens was predicted by the psychiatric problems that accompany gender distress, not by the gender distress itself. Let me repeat that. The suicide risk in the group of adolescents was predicted by the psychiatric problems that accompany gender distress, not by the gender distress itself. Just as the Swedish study had found, the Finnish study said this. Although the rate of suicide in the Finnish study is just over 4 times higher among trans young people than their peers, this is explained by their more serious psychiatric problems. When these psychiatric problems are taken into account, there is no evidence that transgender people have a higher rate of suicide. So this Finnish study vindicates their decision 4 years ago to adopt a more cautious treatment policy, which first targets the mental issues among gender distressed youth before any assumption of experimental affirmation with hormones or surgery. And the researchers actually said in their British Medical Journal health paper, quote, "It is of utmost importance to identify and appropriately treat mental disorders in adolescents experiencing gender dysphoria to prevent suicide. In addition, health policies need to ensure that accurate information is provided to professionals along these lines," end quote. Now, they studied more than 2,000 gender-referred teens between 1996 and 2019, that's 23 years, and they had a control group, which many of the pro-trans studies don't have. So, in other words, the main predictor of mortality in this population is psychiatric morbidity, and the medical gender reassignment does not have an impact on suicide. That's the words of the researchers. So that's one pro-trans myth debunked. Now, on the other side, the claims which groups wanting to protect children from trans ideology and confusion, chemicalization, and castration have made, and I've made this also in public meetings around the country, is that if you let the child go through the natural process of puberty, rather than interrupt it with puberty blockers, that puberty confirms to the child their maleness or femaleness, and they grow up and they grow out of the confusion. And a landmark study from the Netherlands, now remember the Netherlands, they started the Dutch protocol of doing the steps of transitioning, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, surgery. But they published last week, and yeah, you probably didn't hear about it, conveniently ignored by our media, but they found that the majority of gender-confused children grow out of that feeling by the time they are fully grown adults. Researchers in the Netherlands from the University of Groningen tracked more than 2,700 children from age 11 to their mid-20s, asking them every 3 years of feelings about their gender. And the results showed at the start of the research, around 1 in 10 children, about 11%, expressed gender non-contentedness to varying degrees. But by age 25, just 1 in 25, that's just 4%, said that they often or sometimes were discontent with their gender. And the researchers concluded this, really important. The results of the current study might help adolescents to realize that it is normal to have some doubts about one's identity and one's gender identity during this age period, and that this is also relatively common. Wow, every parent needs to read that quote. In fact, Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, or X as it's now called, and who is a parent, he tweeted this in response to the study. "I'm cool with adults doing whatever they want, so long as it doesn't harm others, but kids need to be protected at all costs." Now, this study reiterates what an expert in Finland actually said 2 years ago. This is Dr. Kautiala, who is described as Finland's leading expert on pediatric gender medicine and chief psychiatrist at its largest gender clinic. Yeah, fascinating. So, look, here's a quick update. These are the countries that have all recently been honest enough to review this issue and, in some cases, stop the whole nonsense. And I got this list from Resist Gender Education, which is on Substack. France, this year, proposed a bill to put an end to it. England, this year, no longer routinely prescribing puberty blockers. The Netherlands, the Dutch government wants more research into the affirmation model. Last year, Denmark said that therapeutic counselling and support was more important rather than a prescription for puberty blockers. Last year, Norway, they said guidelines are not evidence-based and must be revised. 3 years ago, Sweden ceased the use of puberty blockers. And 4 years ago, Finland also did the same. They said psychological and interventions and support were more important than medical interventions. And in the United States, you often don't hear this, 22 states have so far passed laws protecting children from medicalization of gender distress. Now, the really disturbing thing for Kiwi parents is that if you follow the research and focus on counseling and affirming a gender's confused child's biological sex, so if you affirm their biological sex and you tell them to wait and go through puberty, so you affirm their biology, under the conversion therapy law passed by most of our parliament a couple of years ago, a parent or a professional or a pastor or a counselor could be committing a crime and could go to jail. That's how disturbing the law is and the debate has become. Studies show that up to 93% of children who begin on puberty blockers will go on to receive cross-sex hormone injections. So kids that are gender confused, 93% of them that start puberty blockers will do the next step. So puberty blockers don't pause, they actually predict. And that's contrary to what you'll hear trans activists say. You know, for the sake of our children, we need to ignore the conversion therapy law. We need to allow children to be children. Conversion therapy is still legal in New Zealand, but only if you go in the direction that the activists want. Conversion therapy has a number of other names in New Zealand, like Inside Out, Rainbow Youth, Rainbow Labour, Rainbow Greens, Family Planning, W Path, Ministry of Health. But you know what? Puberty is a human right. We need to act in the best interests of our children, irrespective of the badly named and badly thought out conversion therapy law. This research, all the research, is continuing to affirm that we, and not them, are on the right side of biological truth. Now, just on a light note to finish, that satirical site Babylon Bee were quick off the mark with a mock news item when this research came out. They said on the heels of a new study regarding young people with gender dysphoria, Democrats issued a warning to parents to transition their kids quickly before they grow out of it. The new study, which revealed a large percentage of young people with gender dysphoria eventually come to accept their actual gender, has created a new sense of urgency within the Biden administration to make sure parents take action now so that as many children can be transitioned as possible before it's too late. Yeah, it's very funny because it almost seems to reflect reality, and that should concern us all.